Good morning.
Morning.
Is ignorance a virtue? That's the subject for this morning. Now, the definition of a virtue is a moral excellence of goodness, righteousness. So, in 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." And in Acts 17:30, "In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So if we're more easily forgiven, if our offense was committed in ignorance, then ignorance is a good thing, right? Wouldn't that make ignorance a virtue? James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin." What if he doesn't know? Luke 12:47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more." So if the more I know, the more I'm accountable for, then the greater my ignorance, the less I'm accountable for. And if I'm accountable for less, then my performance is better without me having to put forth any more effort. Right? In John 9:39, "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth." In John 15:22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1:18, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow." So, why should I want to learn more? Why should I want to know? If it's an increase of sorrow, if it's an increase of grief, and I remember wondering that as a young man. It's like, so, if the more I know, the more I'm accountable for, why should I want to know? Why should I bother to try and find out? If the greater light people have, the more their condemnation, then if I know something, why should I share it with them? It'll just condemn them. Why should I preach? Is it only to add more condemnation to those that hear the message? Well, some think so. That's not really the reason. Some people would make a virtue out of ignorance. Some people live their life as if ignorance was a virtue. That's what we're talking about this morning. Some actually teach that the reason Adam and Eve had no sin before they ate of the tree is because they were ignorant. In other words, Adam and Eve could have lied to each other and beat each other and called each other names, and so long as nobody told them it was wrong, that wasn't sin. After they ate of the tree, they knew better. These things became sin. And all men are condemned because now we know better, but we're still doing it. Is that what happened? In other words, that would make us sinners by knowledge and not sinners by deeds. We're not sinners because of what we're doing, we're sinners because of what we know. That would make ignorance a virtue, wouldn't it? And all of our wicked deeds would be okay if only we didn't know that they were wrong. So, if men are judged less severely for their crime if it was committed in ignorance, then is ignorance a virtue? The more ignorance we have, the less we're judged. If I had no knowledge of right and wrong, would I have no sin? Does total ignorance equal complete righteousness? Okay, now, if that were the case, then there would be two ways to reconcile man to God. One would be to get him to obey God, or two, make him completely ignorant, which most people would prefer. If I avoid light, will the punishment go away? The answer to that is no, but the light will. And you'll be left in ignorance. I came across a quote, and I think it's worthy of repeating. As best I can recall, it goes like this. If you think that education is expensive, have you considered the high cost of ignorance? Think about that one a little bit. So what about the high cost of ignorance? Well, some of you know this story, but a couple months ago, I went to light a brush pile. Now, I got some old gas to use, and it's going to help that brush pile light faster if I use that. If I pour gas on it. Now, I know gas and matches are dangerous. You know, every little boy knows that. Don't play with gas and matches. Well, okay, so because it's dangerous, I took about 5 feet of packing paper, and I run a trail out there. I poured the gas on one end, and I'm going to light the other end. And it'll be a fuse. I'll get back out of the way. When the flame gets up to the gas, it'll take off and burn the brush pile. But what I didn't know was that it was a very good conditions for the fumes to build. It was a very hot, dry, wind-still day, and the fumes build up. I didn't see it. When I struck that match, boom, they ignited. And I got second-degree burns on 12% of my body. Now, the doctor told me, your skin is your biggest organ. He said any other organ that got that much damage would have been destroyed. But I didn't know it was there. I didn't know it was going to do that. I thought I was being safe. I run the paper out. I was staying away from the gas. You know, only one person told me I should have known better. Why? Why didn't everybody scold me? Because I was trying to be careful. I was taking precautions, but I was still ignorant of what was going on. I still got burned. Had I not been taking precautions, people probably would have scolded me. Well, you know better than that. But I was trying to do what was safe. Yeah, but you were still ignorant of something. You still didn't know what was going on, and your ignorance didn't help you.
Right.
So what about an accident? You're driving down the road and you don't see that there's ice on the road. Maybe you don't realize it's that cold. And you hit a patch of ice and you wipe out. Well, you were ignorant. You were trying to be careful. You weren't trying to take risks or anything like that. Well, if that accident kills somebody, they're still gone. Your ignorance doesn't get rid of all the effects.
Right.
So what about training your children? What if you don't know how to train children? God's word says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Ignorance of that principle doesn't change the fact.
Right.
And if you don't know how to train your children, they're still going to turn out wrong. They're not going to grow up and say, oh, well, Dad was ignorant. He just didn't know how to discipline me. So therefore, I think I'm going to obey him after all. No, it doesn't work that way. What if you don't know how to manage your money? Or what if you don't know how to invest your money and you make a bad investment? Well, it wasn't willful waste. It was just ignorance.
Right.
But the money's still gone. Mm-hmm. You can't undo the effects. Mm-hmm. Yet people still choose ignorance. Why do they do that? Anybody heard the saying, I'm good? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me straighten you out a little bit. Now I'm good. I know I'm okay. They almost seem to worship ignorance. As if it is a good thing that will save them. As if when they come to judgment, they can just plead ignorance and get let off. They do not want to know. They do not want to see. As if God's got to save me because I'm ignorant. This is nothing more than an attempt to avoid your obligation.
Right.
People do that trying to get handouts from the government. I'm poor, you owe it to me. It's the same thing. Motivated by selfishness. Okay, God does not have to forgive you because you're ignorant. He may choose to forgive an offense that was committed in ignorance if He sees that in other areas you're doing what you know. And that you're learning what you can. But that still doesn't do away with the consequences. Even if God forgives it, there's still consequences to the ignorance that are going to last, and you're going to reap them for a long time. In Leviticus 5:17, it says, "And if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with an estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord." Even though he didn't know better, it was still a trespass. It was still a it can still be a misrepresentation of God. If we are living our lives ignorantly but wrong, we're still misrepresenting God. If I preach something that's not true, I may have a sincere heart. I may be preaching the best I know. But if it's misrepresenting God, it still has consequences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody might believe it and live their life accordingly, and they might reap consequences. Now keep in mind that God is wanting to transform us into the image of His Son. And in that respect, ignorance isn't okay. Okay, the ignorance has got to go because we're taking you and making you in the image of His Son. So ignorance is no excuse. But many people will say, if I have a sincere heart, that's all that matters. Well, let's think about that. Which is more important, knowledge or a sincere heart? Listen here, sincere heart. Ignorance God can pardon, but He's not going to overlook insincerity. But if you have a sincere heart, knowledge isn't going to be far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to teach you wisdom. He wants to give you knowledge, and He has ways of doing that. He's going to see to it that you find out what you need to know. And wisdom, though it must be sought, is not hard to find. Let's look at an example in Genesis chapter 20. We'll see how God took care of ignorance. Starting in verse 1. "And Abraham journeyed and came from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and journeyed and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech the king of Gerar sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." There's an offense committed. It doesn't matter that Abimelech's ignorant, it's still an offense. "But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even herself, said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in the dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart." In other words, you were ignorant. You didn't know better. "For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." There's still a problem that has to be taken care of. "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." There's going to be consequences. This is a big offense, and you have to get it taken care of. But God took measures to see to it he found out in time that this could get taken care of. He didn't just kill him because he didn't know. Therefore, Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, Because I thought, Surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Now, how many times have we not told someone the truth because we thought, Surely the fear of God is not in this place? That's a tendency we really have to watch out for. Tell people the truth. Don't be afraid of what they'll do, because God is using you to inform other people.
Right.
And don't just assume the fear of God's not in this place. Okay, now, you still have to be tactful in what you say. What information is needed in this situation? There is such a thing as teaching people in the area they are most likely to receive and not dumping them with everything they're doing wrong all at once. Let's see. Verse 12. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, This is thy kindness, which thou shalt show me. At every place whither we shall come, say of me, He is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and manservants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, Behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleases thee. And unto Sarah he said, Behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Okay, this thing was done in ignorance, but God wasn't going to let it go. And immediately there were consequences. Nobody's having children. At that point, the nation begins to die because nobody's being born. But because it was done in ignorance, rather than just destroy the nation, God chose to step in and say, in a dream, this is the situation, you need to take care of it. After that, no more ignorance. This had to be taken care of. Now, Paul said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. He wasn't just saved in spite of his ignorance. He was saved from his ignorance.
Right.
Because of his ignorance, God continued to prick him and strive with him and chose to show himself to him to bring him from ignorance to the truth. Had Abimelech done this thing knowingly, God wouldn't have bothered striving with him. He would have just killed him. You know, he said, thou art but a dead man. But because it was done in ignorance, and because what Paul did was in ignorance, God continued to strive. That didn't make the offense okay. That didn't do away with the consequences. And if God chooses to forgive an offense because of ignorance, it still has consequences. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Now we have to be careful if we misbuild this building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, not an ignorant builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Okay, so who wants to come to the end of life and find out that your whole life was wasted because of ignorance? And that you yourself were almost lost. You were just scarcely saved.
Right.
Because you had a lot of ignorance. Now, if someone could have shown me or told me before I lit that match what was going to happen, do you think I still would have done it? No. If someone could have said, wait, when you light that, there's a bunch of fumes around here, you're going to be spending a couple months recovering from that. No. No thanks. I will do things differently. Yet, what happens when someone approaches you and says, you realize what's going to happen if you do this or that? You realize what the consequences are going to be? Do you hear them? Do you listen to their reasoning? Do you consider it? Or do you say, I'll take my chances. I think it's okay. Afterwards, I had plenty of time to sit around and wish I could turn the clock back and do things different. We'll do this over, do something different. Anybody who does something like that does that. Everybody's got times in their life when they did something that's like, ooh, I wish I could do that over. I wish I could back that conversation up and take back what I said and say something different. Okay. So what if you have a child you don't know how to deal with? What if you don't know how to witness to people? What if you don't know how to deal with your lost relatives or neighbors? You have questions about what modesty looks like or what's appropriate behavior. Maybe there's a verse you don't understand that seems to conflict with what you believe. Are you just going to write it off as ignorance? Pay the price? What if later you find out that someone who sat beside you had the answer? Maybe a family member or a friend. What if you find out that their phone number was in your contacts list? It's like, why didn't I ask? Are you going to ask the question? Or just pay the high price of ignorance? What if you're too ignorant to know that you're a sinner in trouble with God? Then you're going to get burned.
That's right.
Ignorance grows, and a little bit of ignorance, if allowed, is going to grow into a lot of ignorance.
Yeah.
And you'll be a sinner in trouble with God and not know it. Now, the problem with man is not that he was never wise, that he became ignorant.
Right.
But he didn't become as ignorant as what he'd like to think. Men still know they're in trouble. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, have you asked God for the answer? How many times do we run off and do things and didn't stop to ask God? And God's like, I could have showed you. I could have told you. But like with Hezekiah and the matter of the ambassadors from Babylon, why did he stop and ask God? But God left him go to see what he would do. If he'd asked God, God could have told him.
Right.
But he didn't stop to ask. Now, God normally answers in one of two ways. Normally, he doesn't give us a dream. Normally, it's through other people and through His Word. Probably everybody who's of some age can understand this. I remember as a young man feeling like nobody understood. Nobody's going through what I'm going through. I have to figure all this out on my own. And then I got a little older. And my dad tells stories. And it's like, oh, you did that too. I didn't know that. You went through that. And you hear other people talk about it. It's like, oh, they had similar circumstances. They all went through that. It's like, well, why didn't I ask? They could have given me advice. I could have saved myself a lot of trouble. A little while back, I was talking to a man. It's kind of an older man. I don't know how old, but a lonely man. His wife deserted him. His children, some of them don't want anything to do with him. You know, as a young man, he wanted a wife. That's not uncommon. But he grew up in a bad home. And he had no idea how to find a good wife. So he found a wife, but she wasn't a very good one. Now, who all to blame? What all, I don't know. He's a lot older than me. I don't know what went on back then. But what if he would have had somebody to help him find a good wife? His life might be a lot different. God intended for fathers to help their sons find wives. There's a lot that a young man doesn't understand about marriage and how it works and what do you look for? You want a godly wife, but it's like, what kind of young lady makes a good wife? A father has a lot more insight into that. And so, God, in order to save us from this ignorance, made a program. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Okay, did God do this to make children miserable? Just, you know, so their parents would have some slaves to run around? No. He did it because children need the wisdom that parents should have. And so He put children under the protection of parents until you get old enough to have wisdom. You need to do what mom and dad say. Now, when you get your wisdom, it shouldn't conflict with theirs or something's wrong. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace under thy head and chains about thy neck. It's a benefit. It's a blessing. You know, the chains about your neck, that's talking about jewelry. That's not talking about bondage. And then Titus 2:3. Paul says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, you mean we don't all naturally know this? No, we need to be taught. Why do we need to be taught? Because we're ignorant. And God has set up a program, said, here, I'll teach you. I'll get that ignorance out of you. Ephesians 4:11, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Where's ignorance? Got to go. We need each other to show us where we're ignorant, to correct us and set us straight and admonish us. Now, often God's law is simply stating what is the best way to live. If you're ignorant of it, you suffer the consequences. Even if He forgives you, there's still consequences. And in consideration of eternity, it is always the wisest thing to do. God is looking for people who believe this, and not only are doing all they know, but are learning all they can.
Yes.
Let's look in Proverbs. There's a lot about wisdom in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Now it's interesting, the first several chapters, that chapter 3 starts, my son, forget not my law. Chapter 4 is, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. That's what Proverbs is about. Okay, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasure, he really wants that. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Well, what if you don't? Then you're not going to find it. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. So what if knowledge, or what if wisdom didn't enter into your heart? The knowledge wasn't pleasant to your soul. Then discretion is not going to preserve you, and understanding isn't going to keep you.
Right.
To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So what is wisdom for? It's to keep you from the froward man and from the strange woman. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. That sounds good, doesn't it? We want that. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Chapter 3, down at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So what about those who don't have her? They don't have pleasantness, and their ways aren't peace. They're not happy. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall there be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. So what's that mean if you don't have it? You're not going to walk safely, and your foot's going to stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, that is, if you have wisdom, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And if you don't have wisdom, if you're not seeking it, the Lord won't be your confidence and he won't keep your foot from being taken. You're going to stumble. chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, what's in between those verses that we read? Wisdom. Look at the end of chapter 3. Verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. That's wisdom. That's what you do to keep your steps from being straightened and so you don't stumble. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Okay, that's wisdom. God in His Word is teaching us how to live, showing us what's going to work. And if you're ignorant, you still have to pay for it. There's still consequences. Look at an example of that. Very sadly, let's turn over to chapter 7. In verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the windows of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. How sad. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, because he lacked wisdom. Going down to verse 21. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattery of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Because he didn't have wisdom. He lacked wisdom and discretion. Remember what it said, it shall preserve thee from the way of the froward man and the strange woman. What a sad ending. What a sad result. Because of ignorance? Doesn't sound like a virtue, does it? Have you ever stopped to thank God for what you know? The good things your parents taught you? It's a blessing. It's not just a list of duties and responsibilities. So in light of all that, why do men still love ignorance? Well, one reason is because they want to be their own God. And taking instruction from somebody else isn't very, God-like, is it? It's not much like being your own God when you're listening to Dad, is it? If you want to do your own thing. They don't want to face the truth, and they hope that if they deny it, it'll go away. When in reality, it's just their knowledge of it that goes away. They lose it. They don't trust the intentions of the one who gives wisdom. Okay, and we saw that with the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness. They didn't trust God. It's like, don't you think I'm looking out for your good? Like, no, they didn't. They're too short-sighted to see the reward. The reward's not all now here. It's later. And if you don't see that, you're mostly worried about what's good right here now. They're afraid of what knowledge might show. I remember as a boy, I was terrified of going to the dentist. I didn't want to go to the dentist. And I noticed one time that some of my teeth looked a little odd. So I didn't want Dad to see that. I didn't want him to take me to the dentist, so careful not to smile too much around Dad. I don't know how long it was. It was some time. I still remember the day that my dad told me. They're called eye teeth. They look a little different. What was I afraid of? What did knowledge show? Your teeth are fine. You don't have to go to the dentist. No. But I was afraid I would. Okay, if you're not hiding anything, you don't have to worry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be afraid. Men love ignorance because their deeds are evil and they want to hide them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really work, but they try it.
Right.
One who does not want more light or knowledge because of the condemnation that it brings only shows that he's not walking in the light that he has.
Right.
One who is walking in all the light that he has nothing to fear from more light. Some people don't like or love ignorance, I guess you would say, because of indifference. They really don't care. Their life is busy. They don't have time to study. It's just not a big deal. Well, if that's your attitude, someday you're going to find that you got burned. And you will have plenty of time to sit around and wish that you could turn the clock back and do something differently.
Right.
Now, some people ask the question, some would like to ask it, if we think we're the only ones who are right. Okay, what they're implying by this and what they're insinuating is, do we think we're the only ones who are saved? You're the only ones God's going to take care of. To which I reply, salvation is at the end of life, not the beginning. And the more of God's law you know, understand, and obey, the less likely you are to stumble and fall in sin, and so the more likely to be saved in the end.
Right.
Remember we read in Proverbs, it'll keep your feet from stumbled. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now, something important to remember is that knowledge is not what gets you where you're going. It only tells you where you are and where you need to go. So just because I know more than you do does not make me right with God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It is only a benefit when I know and am doing.
Right.
The only benefit of knowledge is knowing and living by it. If you know more and are not doing it, it does condemn you. Because it shows that you're not really sincere. You're not trying. Remember what it said in Luke 12:47, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." He's still beaten. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." The only way to live is to do it. Not just to know it or not know it, but is to know it and do it. And wisdom and knowledge is very important. "If you are doing all that you know, then let this comfort you, that God is doing what He can to teach you what you need to know and to reduce the consequences of your ignorance." I can look back, and probably everybody else can, and thank God that I didn't get what I deserved. It's like I made that ignorant mistake and that's what the consequences could have been, and I'm still here. Like, thank you, God. That was very kind of you. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, she's not hard to find. Wisdom is available.
Right.
How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Remember Esau? He found no space of repentance, so he sought it diligently with tears, or carefully with tears. It was too late. Well, he didn't know this was going to be the end result. He didn't know it would be like this. Well, that's too bad. That's the consequences. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They loved ignorance. Though nobody's going to tell you that. Nobody's going to tell you I love ignorance or ignorance is my God, but they'll live that way. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them, because they think everything's going good. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So what then is ignorance if it's not a virtue? Ignorance is a vain shadow that men who do not love the light hide under, hoping that when the shadow is lifted at Christ's return or their death, they'll be found standing exactly where they need to be without having taken any effort to be there. Willful ignorance is called presumption and is a sin.
Right.
And the devil promotes it as much as he can. Wisdom is from God. And God is testing men to see if they love it or not. And on this basis, he will judge us.
Right.
Did you love wisdom? Were you following it? Not only were you doing all you knew, but were you learning all you could? Wisdom is from God. We have to believe that it's the best way to live.
Amen.